What does it mean to have faith? What exactly is belief? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. I'm really glad that you've tuned in today because we have a really valuable subject that Sean and Bob are going to discuss. We're currently in a series called Beyond Doubt, and it's based on Sean's book, Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation. If you'd like to follow along in your copy of his book, which you can get at faithalone.org/store or on Amazon, we're in chapter 3, and it's called The Error of Redefining Faith. Let's go to Sean and Bob in the Grace in Focus studios. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we are doing a series on Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation. It's a book that I wrote. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. That's a pretty good book.
Woo-hoo. All the people in the audience are shouting.
Oh, wow. Look at all the people. Yay. Yes, thank you very much. Sean. My grandmother tells me it's her favorite book, so it's got to be. It's not endorsed by anyone major, but it's endorsed by my grandmother. Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation, I wrote it because I wanted to help people have assurance of salvation and salvation, both, really. I've met so many people, talk to them, they're in agony that they don't know for sure where they're going when they die. They have some type of faith in Jesus, but they lack assurance. And when they get into those moments of doubt, and it's not all the time, sometimes it's just kind of a numbness, sometimes it's an indifference. But then when their conscience hits and they really, really, really want to know what their eternal destiny is and they're not sure, they experience it as more than frustration, but as agony.
Yeah. And when you say they have some kind of faith in Christ, you're not talking about different types of faith. You're saying they're believing some things about Jesus. They're just not believing his promise in John 3:16. And
right. I mean, like, they know he's the Son of God, and they know that he died on the cross for sin, and they know he saves somebody, but they're just not sure if he saved them.
They're not sure if they're one of the whosoever. One year I was on staff at First Baptist Dallas when Dr. Criswell was still the pastor, and Robert Jeffress, who's now the pastor, was the high school pastor, and I did an internship under Robert Jeffress for a year. And we used to sing a song at First Baptist Dallas. I really liked it. And it was, "Whosoever surely meaneth me." Mm-hmm. And it was about John 3:16.
Right.
And in the King James, you know, it's, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but hath everlasting life." I love that. "Whosoever surely meaneth me." And anyone who denies that is denying the truthfulness of John 3:16.
Right. So we basically want to get people to be able to say that Jesus is my Savior, because that's really the issue. They're not sure if he's their Savior or not.
And one of the reasons, and you bring this out in chapter 3, is that some people, you call it backloading the gospel, they define faith in Christ in such a way that it's no longer really faith in Christ.
Right.
And as a result, it's impossible to be sure.
Right. It's very tricky here because most everyone who's read the book of Galatians or the book of Romans or the Gospel of John know that salvation is by faith. And if you know Galatians and Romans, you know explicitly it's by faith apart from works. And a lot of churches since the Reformation, which basically grew out of this doctrine,
right,
all the Protestant churches and the evangelical churches that came from them grew out of this doctrine that justification is by faith apart from works. A lot of them in their creeds or statements, or at least on their websites, you know, statements of faith, they'll say, we believe in justification by faith apart from works. And you would think they meant it.
Right.
But what often happens is what they say out of one side of their mouth contradicts what they say out of the other side of their mouth.
Right.
And a lot of churches, you know, work salvation isn't always obvious. Sometimes it's very tricky. It comes in different forms. Sometimes it's very upfront. You need faith and good works to be saved. You need faith and be baptized to be saved. You need faith and you need to do X, Y, and Z to be saved. But sometimes it gets pretty subtle. The most subtle way that I've seen is by redefining faith itself to include doing good works. So, for example, sometimes you'll hear people say, well, yeah, faith is apart from works, but if you really believe, you're going to show it through your behavior.
You have a nice quote on page 33 where you're quoting from a systematic theology from a Calvinistic author. And here's the quote, "Justification is by faith, apart from works of the law, without works."
So he says it three times, right?
Just like Galatians 2:16, three times, apart from
works of the law, without works. And you'd think he believed it, right?
And then he discusses the Catholic view. He says concerning that, this means then that salvation is based partly on our works. The consequence then is we cannot be assured of our salvation in this life because we are never sure whether our works have been sufficient. So he's saying that's wrong. The Catholic view is wrong.
See, this is why it's a problem to include works in salvation. It destroys assurance. So he recognizes that problem.
But then, just a little bit later, he goes on and says, saving faith is a faith that works. Say what?
Uh-huh.
And it gets even worse. He says, justification is by a living faith, not a dead faith, a faith that works rather than a mere profession.
So basically he's saying it really isn't enough to just believe that the promise of life is true. You need a faith that works in order for it to click, in order for it to really stick. Works somehow need to be a part of your faith in order for salvation to work. And he goes on to say, but faith does not justify because of its connection to works. There is a connection, right? But it doesn't justify because of that connection. It justifies because its nature is to trust, in this case, to trust the grace of God in Christ. That trust motivates us to please God and therefore to do good works. Now, that's not entirely wrong. Our faith should inspire us to do good works.
Right. But what he's saying is ultimately the works themselves are connected to faith.
And that's clear in the next quote. He says, if you assent to the truths of Scripture, not feebly or forgetfully. So he's saying, listen, you can't believe God feebly because then it doesn't work. So there's something saving about the power or the act of your faith itself. What we would say is all the power is on Jesus' side.
Right.
He's the one who gives eternal life. Our faith is just an instrument. It's just the means whereby he gives us eternal life. There's nothing about faith itself that merits salvation or contributes to salvation in any way. But this guy says, if you assent to the truths of Scripture, not feebly or forgetfully, but in a way that determines your behavior, thoughts, and feelings, then it seems to me that you have all that is needed for true faith.
Wow.
You have to believe, according to him, this is a very famous theologian and wrote this is a best-selling work in systematic theology recently. And he's saying, you got to believe hard. You can't believe light. You got to believe really hard to be saved. You could miss salvation if you don't believe hard enough.
Right.
And that's got to be really confusing for people.
Right. And believing hard enough is not about belief at all. Believing hard enough is about working.
Well, he says it.
Right.
You have to believe in a way that changes your behavior.
Right.
So it's really about behavior after all.
And even your thoughts and feelings.
Yeah.
So you should look at your feelings.
Yeah, did I feel
thoughts,
the right way?
Your thoughts, your behavior. If you do that, who's going to have assurance?
Right. Absolutely.
Nobody.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes people evangelize this way. They say you need to repent and believe in order to be saved. And they define repentance different ways. Some people define repentance as sorrow over sin. And then that really presents you with a problem because you think to yourself, okay, well, how sorry do I have to be? Was I sorry enough to be saved?
Right.
Or was my sorrow too shallow and so therefore I'm not really born again? As a result of that, you keep putting yourself into, maybe you keep on walking an aisle, you keep on going to the front, hoping that one day you'll have enough of an emotional reaction to the invitation that now it really stuck. Now I'm saved. I have enough emotion bubbling up to the surface that my faith is real. It just leads people into confusion.
Well, the big problem, it seems to me, is that this theologian, as well-intentioned as he is, does not really believe in justification by faith alone apart from works.
Mm-hmm.
He says he does, and then he mentions the Catholic view and says, well, the Catholic view depends partly on our works, so therefore you can't have assurance. Then he goes to his own view, and it depends partly on works, too.
Yeah. See, I used an illustration in the last episode of trying to cross the American border from Quebec to Vermont, and the border guard asked me, do I have any fruits or vegetables in the car? I had an orange for my snack, and I had to give it up. It didn't matter that the orange was in my front seat or in the back seat or in the trunk or under the hood. The border guard didn't care. I wasn't allowed having any oranges at all. And the doctrine of justification by faith apart from works is you can't have any oranges at all. Works are not a part of this at all. And so we got to be clear about that. In churches, they need to be clear that it's completely apart from works. Now, works are very important. They're very important in the Christian life.
Obviously, God wants us to do good works. Obviously, we want to do good works.
Yeah.
What person in life would say, my aim in life is to be a derelict, to be a homeless person, to be a drug addict, to be a miserable person who squanders his or her life?
Right.
Nobody wants that.
Right, absolutely.
And you don't want it for your kids, and you don't want it for your enemies. You don't want it for anybody. So the truth is, the idea that the free gift of everlasting life would motivate rebellion against God is ridiculous. I'm so grateful that I know for sure I have eternal life. I want to tell everybody about it.
Sure.
That's why we're doing this, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it's good news. I mean,
it's great. Yeah.
You know, this idea, though, that you have to work for your salvation, to me, that's not good news. I mean, that's bad news. Well, now, we didn't answer a question yet. We've talked a lot about what faith isn't, but let's say quickly what faith is.
Yeah, faith is simply being convinced, being persuaded. Some people call it assent, to agree. So when Jesus says in John 11:26, do you believe this? He's asking her if she believes that he's the resurrection and the life.
He's asking if her behavior and emotions and her life is according to a certain way.
No.
He's asking, when he says, do you believe this? He really means, have you done like your 12 steps to, you know.
He just said, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. That's the promise of resurrection. And then he said, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. That's what he's asking her. Do you believe this? And her answer is, yes, Lord.
Yes.
And then she says, why? I know that's true.
Right.
You are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.
So she's persuaded that his promise is true, and that's what faith is.
That's what faith is. Should good works be something which follows our gratitude for the free gift of everlasting? Sure. But they're not guaranteed.
No.
They're not automatic.
Right.
And our perseverance isn't guaranteed or automatic.
Right.
But our assurance is, as long as we keep our eyes on Christ.
Right. And those good works, they have their place. Those good works are to help the people around you. They're not to contribute or to earn eternal life. So we want to encourage you to do good works, but more importantly, encourage you to just simply believe Jesus' promise. If you believe his promise is true, Jesus says, whoever believes in me has everlasting life, and you believe that promise is true, then what do you have?
Everlasting life.
Thanks to Sean and Bob for that great discussion. What an encouragement it is. What a victory that we can simply believe in the promise of everlasting life. Maybe you'd like to get clarity on that exact subject. If that's the case, I want to tell you about our featured resource for this series. It's called Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation. It's by Sean Lazar, one of our discussion leaders. To get a copy of this book, go to faithalone.org/store. It's a great companion for this series. You can follow along chapter by chapter. In addition to this, I'd like to encourage you to spend a little time on our website. We have put all kinds of free resources on the site for you to use. We've got this great print magazine, full color. It goes out 6 times a year. You can get a free subscription and it will show up right in your mailbox. On the site, we've also got teaching videos, podcasts of this show. We've got free ebooks, blog posts that go out daily. We've got all kinds of things to help you stay engaged with the Christian life. I hope you'll take advantage of all of those resources. In addition to this, you might wish to become a financial partner with us to help us continue the work we're doing. You can find out how to do that on faithalone.org as well. Maybe you'd like to reach out to Sean and Bob. They are excited when they hear from listeners. The best way to reach out to our team here is through email. I'll give you our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the program, we're going to ask the question, can you lose eternal life? Tune in for that exciting discussion. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.